You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Wednesday, December 20th, 2017 NBA edition of On The Daily, brought to you by RotoViz Radio. I'm Matt LaMarca, who you can find on Twitter at Matt LaMarca, and I'm joined tonight by Vince Long, who you can find on Twitter at WakeWorkWake. Vince, what's going on, man?
Oh man, just coming off of a really, really bad night of daily fantasy, and ready to give some recommendations based on that. Good luck, guys.
Well, yeah, that would mean that you're due, right?
Yeah, I'm the regression's about to hit for sure.
So we're gonna do things a little bit differently today. Wednesday is a massive 12-game slate, so instead of going game by game, because we would literally be doing this for like 2 hours, we're gonna just go sort of position by position, hit on players at different price points, and then maybe just talk a little bit overall sort of slate dynamics. So before we do that, let's start by just talking about a few of the key games on the slate. Now, granted, there's a lot of injury information that's pending, so not a lot of these games have totals at the moment. But some of the bigger ones that are posted, we have Toronto favored by 1 in Charlotte. That's a 220-point total. The Pacers favored by 4.5 in Atlanta, 213.5 total. Biggest total of the night, no surprise, Lakers at Houston, 225-point total. But the Rockets are massive favorites. They're 14-point favorites at home. Minnesota in Denver, Denver favored by 2.5, is a 216-point total. And this game has no total, but Phoenix at the Clippers, you know when Phoenix is involved, you're going to have a pretty big number there. So those were the games that stood out to me. Anything else that sort of piques your interest?
Not necessarily for Pacer total, but Sacramento Brooklyn's probably going to be the value outlet.
Yeah, I was going to bring them up as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that's going to be on the DFS radar for sure. I agree with the list you have there. I'm really curious to see what the spread's going to be on Phoenix LA, because I feel like that could be a very competitive game full of value as well. So
right, both of those teams suck at this point. So.
Yeah, they're it's just miserable for both of them. So like that's one of those ones that a lot of people is going to target, and it's the late night hammer, which is my favorite thing in the world.
Right, we know you love that. but yeah, I was going to say the Sacramento Brooklyn, particularly the Sacramento side.
Yeah,
I love teams that are slow that get pace up spots. And, you know, they could be potentially shorthanded. I did see that George Hill was likely to play tomorrow. So if De'Aaron Fox sits, he left today's game injured. You know, that doesn't leave them as shorthanded as they could be. But yeah. Still think that that's a good place to look for some value.
I'm going to call it now and we'll talk about it later. But I feel like this could be like a Zach Randolph rest spot after all the minutes he's been playing on a back to back. Like they're not afraid to sit him down.
That's definitely possible. Yeah. Definitely possible.
I feel like that's what Georgia was it what was his injury, or was
they
it just
were
a rest
calling
nightmare?
It an illness, but okay. I would, you know, I think it's like illness slash rest.
Yeah, illness slash we're on a back to back, so
right. So some other key injuries. Draymond Green is questionable with a shoulder injury. The Warriors actually have a few injuries, but that's really the only one that matters at this point. Steph Curry's still out. For the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker are gonna rest. Danny Green and Kyle Anderson, both probable. The Jazz could be pretty shorthanded. They're obviously already down Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert, and Donovan Mitchell and Derek Favors are both questionable here. Gary Harris is questionable for the Nuggets. Emmanuel Mudiay, doubtful. KCP and Brooke Lopez, both out for the Lakers. Evan Fournier is doubtful for the Magic. Aaron Gordon already ruled out. Serge Ibaka questionable for Toronto. Avery Bradley out for Detroit. Steven Adams questionable for OKC. Lou Williams probable for the Clippers. Wesley Johnson already out. And then Dennis Smith Jr. is questionable for the Mavericks. So definitely a lot of things to keep our eye on here. These are a lot of guys who have had some DFS value this season and could obviously open up some key roles here on their respective teams. All right, before we get on to the actual positions, I want to just mention the RotoViz NBA Pass. With the pass, you get access to all the content at RotoViz this season. And listeners to the podcast can get a 30% discount through the podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/NBA podcast. All right, so let's start with the point guard position. We'll start with some of the higher priced options. Personally, I didn't see a guy that really like stood out for me as somebody that I wanted to, you know, pay all the way up for.
I mean, obviously Russ is always in play, but like I just don't feel like this is the slate that you need him. The first guy that jumped out to me was Chris Paul. It's the Lakers. The Lakers have been more competitive. I know Houston's been blowing people out of the water lately, but like it's eventually got to come back down to earth. So maybe this game stays competitive. Chris Paul has been a monster along with James Harden. So I think both of them are in play right now. But I mean, after that, it kind of gets down to the high sevens, low eights is where I'm really going to start building my lineups.
Yeah, I mean, Westbrook for sure has been like a usage monster recently. Like the three-headed, you know, experiment in OKC is over. It's back to just Westbrook doing him. He had a usage rate of over 45% in his last game against Denver.
That's insane.
Yeah, just absolutely crazy. So he's going to end up leading the league in usage again. I feel like that's a pretty safe bet, you know, based on how he's been dominating the ball recently. But normally we see players, you know, get a little bit of a price reduction for this matchup with the Jazz. But Westbrook's salary actually went up from his last matchup. Now, granted, he scored 65 DK points, so that might be warranted, but I just don't feel comfortable, I think, paying, you know, 11-4 for a guy against the Jazz, even though we've seen Westbrook shred this team before.
Yeah, I mean, through two games right now versus Utah, he's averaging 57 DK points. I mean, that's fine for cash, but like you can get similar production for much, much less on this slate. There are 12 games to choose from. Like, I just feel like Russ is a GPP guy for me at best, and that's probably the only time I'll actually get some exposure to him.
Right. And then Chris Paul, like I've really enjoyed playing him recently. He's just been like a free square on DraftKings for like the past week or two. But now that he's up to 9,800, you know, so now it's like we need 50 plus from him, which he's been doing on a pretty regular basis. And it's a wonderful matchup against the Lakers. But again, I just think that there might be other places where I'm looking to spend my money on this slate.
Yeah, I agree with you there for sure. I mean, he's got the upside along with Harden. I think I'd rather play Harden in this matchup. But yeah, I mean, they're both in play for me, but like, I think both of us are going towards this next little tier is where we're going to be taking most of our guys from, if not dirt cheap guys.
Right. All right. So let's move down a little bit. Who do you like there?
Lillard is really, really intriguing in this spot for me. But at the exact same time, you can get Lou Williams against Phoenix for like a grand less on DraftKings. And that sounds way more appealing to me because, like we mentioned before, like this game could be fantasy gold. And, you know, the Clippers are struggling quite a bit right now. On FanDuel, the shooting guard spot, which is always one that it can offer some, but it's always nice to just plug in a safe guy like this. So Lou Williams is probably going to be the guy in that range if I attack it. But Dunn is really interesting. Kemba is really interesting. Like there's guys that all offer 50 fantasy point upside in this range.
Yeah, I'm going to go down. I really like Lou Williams. I mean, quite a bit. Like,
yeah,
usage machine without all these guys that have been hurt for the Clippers and, you know, Phoenix, wonderful matchup. So I like that play a lot. I kind of am digging Lonzo Ball, who I know was your guy earlier in the season. He's waking up a little bit here. Starting to shoot the ball somewhat competently, which I think is, you know, not exactly unexpected. You know, he wasn't like a bricklayer in college, and he's playing all the minutes he can handle, and you know he's going to give you the peripheral statistics. So I think at 6,700, he's got a pretty safe floor, you know, just off of what he does with the steals, assists, and rebounds. And then if it's a night where he's actually making his jump shot, I think he's got, you know, pretty solid upside as well.
Yeah, I've been riding the Lonzo train recently, and especially falling into the Golden State game from 2 days ago. he looks confident in what he's doing, which I think is huge. Like we talk about the guys having like the swagger. Like I feel like he's finally realizing like, hey, like I'm a basketball player for a living. Like I gotta step my game up. I gotta be confident when I step on the court, and like it's showing for him. The shooting, whatever. Like I feel like he needs to stick to at the cup and behind the arc. That's what he needs to keep doing. No mid range anything.
Well, behind the arc would be a big improvement from what he did early in the year. You know, he was like sub 30% from 3-point range for the first month of the season, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, like that's just, it's going to do wonders for him as a facilitator because it's going to space the floor a lot more. And I just think at this price point, this is basically Rondo from what it was like a week and a half ago when they played Houston. He was basically at the same price point, kind of catching on, you know, after the injury or whatever. No Anthony Davis. This one's got no KCP. Can't travel with the team for the next month, which what was that, a DUI or something? What happened there?
Putting me on the spot. I think
it's a DUI. But yeah, so I mean, no KCP. I just think this is a really, really good spot for Lonzo. The Lonzo Ball Spencer Dinwiddie range is going to win somebody some money.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I think Lonzo has a huge ceiling in, you know, what should be the fastest paced game of the night. Obviously. Yeah. The Lakers have to keep it close, but as long as they do, I think Lonzo's going to play, you know, close to 40 minutes, and I just really like that price point on him.
Definitely.
All right, let's move down a little further. You got anybody else for me?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting range. I think we need some injury news, obviously.
You know, Tyler Johnson.
I mean, I know you're going to bring up Murray, so I'm not even going to bring up his name, but he's definitely on the list. I'm going to let you talk about him, though. But I think that Tyler Johnson, you know, given Dragic, that news is going to become really popular because the other night when they played Atlanta, I mean, he was, what, 40% owned. So even on a 12-game slate, we're going to see some ownership if we get that news.
Yeah, I did see Dragic said that he was going to try and play. So I would probably list him as probable more than questionable.
Okay, I didn't see that, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, I think that this 5K like range and even lower is really good on this slate. Really intriguing. Yeah. I mean, you know I love Jamal Murray. You kind of made fun of me last week, and he
I played him that night,
and he went out and dropped a 53.5 burger at 1.
Gary Harris did as well, though. Gary Harris did as well. They both smashed that night.
So there's no way I'm not playing Murray if Harris is out and Moutier is out.
Yeah.
I mean, even if just one of the two is out, I'm going to play him, against Minnesota, who's been, you know, terrible defensively all season. So
every time I'm making a list for point guards, it's who's playing Minnesota and they fall on that list instantly. Point guard that plays Minnesota.
I'm in 100% on Jamal Murray. Really, regardless of who's in or out, but if there's some injury value, like, yeah, give me all the Murray.
That game is so appealing, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, low spread, big total, that's exactly what we're looking for here.
Yeah, stack it up.
We mentioned George Hill earlier in the slate. If he's going to play and De'Aaron Fox is out, I think Hill actually is pretty intriguing at 4,800 as well.
Fantastic play.
You know, great spot against Brooklyn. He's been a little bit more aggressive recently, usage rate of over 20% in three of his last four games. So, you know, if he's going to continue to sort of use possessions at a little bit higher rate than what we've seen from him early in the season, and I figure he'll play 30 plus minutes, you know, coming off of a day of rest, I think that he could easily return value, you know, in a plus matchup.
Definitely. He's kind of the low range. If crazy news comes out that he doesn't play, which I don't see it coming, or just as a backup cheaper play, are you interested in Frank Mason at all?
My gut says yes, but you know, looking at the box score from tonight,
Fox, he had like 15. He didn't do anything else though.
Fox played 11 minutes. You know, Hill obviously didn't play, and Mason still only saw 22 minutes.
Yeah.
So you know, they played Buddy Hield more. They played Garrett Temple a little bit more at the point guard position. So I don't think it would be like a smash lock that, you know, Frank Mason
that he sees 32
like
minutes.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. I get that.
All right. Any other point guards we want to touch on?
No, I think that's the list for me. Right. I kind of brushed over him. Chris Dunn is a fantastic play on this slate. I don't even care about the price.
Yeah.
I just want to mention him again.
I'm definitely a little scared of the price, but it's like, it's Orlando.
Yeah, it's Orlando, and it's Chris Dunn, a guy that can, I mean, God, he can fill up a stat sheet. Like, it's impressive what he can do.
Yep, and 7,200 on DraftKings is still, you know, a relative bargain compared to what he is on FanDuel, where he's 7,900. So,
yeah,
I mean, I definitely see the logic behind the play. All right, let's flip over to shooting guard. You kind of touched on James Harden. I'm with you that I would rather play Harden at 11K than Chris Paul at 9,800. So,
yeah.
Do you think, like as far as the slate dynamics, like, we haven't touched on all the positions yet. Like, should Harden be considered, like, the top stud to pay up for?
Depending on what your stud range is, yeah. Anybody that's double digits or higher for me, I feel like he's number one for me.
Okay.
If that's the way we're looking at it. But is he the only one that's double digits? Okay, we got Westbrook and Durant.
And Durant.
I forgot about Durant, yeah. But yeah, no, Harden's still number one for me. I mean, Westbrook versus Harden for you. Who are you playing if you pick one of them?
I would take Harden.
Okay.
I would take Harden close, at 11.
Though. It's close.
The only reason I hesitated is that I think Harden has, you know, the higher ownership by a pretty significant amount.
That's a good point.
You know, Harden at 11K versus the Lakers versus Russ at 11.4 against the Jazz.
Like, so what you're saying is
everybody's playing Harden.
Harden cash, Westbrook GPP.
Yeah, yes, I agree with that actually pretty strongly.
Okay. Yeah, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
That being said, I prefer Victor Oladipo to both of them.
Yeah, man, go on. I agree with you. So go ahead and get your Victor Oladipo love in.
He's just like a completely new player in Indiana. Like, he's in tremendous shape. He continues to shoot the ball at a ridiculous rate. He's going to regress there, but he does so many other things that he can still hit value, even if he does have a somewhat off night offensively. And while he's not facing Orlando, he's facing Atlanta, which is almost just as good.
Yeah, it's very similar.
It's almost just as good. He's going to play the point guard essentially for them. I just think it's an awesome spot for him.
All right. I agree with you completely, but give me Jimmy Butler for 400 less against Denver.
Fair point.
Do you disagree with that?
I do disagree, but I can't argue against what Jimmy Butler has done recently. The guy has just been a monster.
He's been old Jimmy Butler. Finally, we've been waiting all season for this, and he's consistently doing it now. I know it's altitude. I know it's a tough matchup if Gary Harris plays, because I feel like, you know, they're going to put Wilson on him. But I love what he's doing right now. I love this game. I think you can stack it with a bunch of these kind of 7 to 8K guys with some value, because there's going to be some value on this slate. So I think Depot is a wonderful play, but for 400 less for somebody that can do very similar things, like, I'm on board with Jimmy Butler.
Right. I'm totally okay with that. But I think that the overall moral that we're coming up with here is that between Oladipo, Butler, and Lou Williams, you don't necessarily need to go up to James Harden to get, you know, elite production on a per dollar basis here.
I agree with that for sure.
All right. So let's move down a little bit further in the price range. Who do you got for me?
Well, I mean,
are we going back to Tyreek again?
See, I don't think that necessarily this is a Tyreek spot. I worry about the Grizzlies in this game. The Grizzlies are a team that play Golden State very well, but they really don't have somebody that can lock down KD. And even without Curry, and if Draymond happens to sit, like, I still think that this game could get out of hand quite easily. But obviously Tyreek obviously offers a ton of upside, but
right.
I don't know, man. I just on DraftKings, I'm probably going to attack a lot of these point guards that have shooting guard eligibility. So, like, that kind of throws off some stuff. But, like, on FanDuel, you've got guys like Barton. Deion Waiters is interesting in this spot. But, I mean, Buddy Hield is probably where I'm going to be going, given De'Aaron Fox is out. Like, right. Buddy Hield is probably just going to be a free space for everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think McCollum is interesting to me at 6,400.
Okay. Like,
that's just super low for him. I mean, it's a brutal matchup against the Spurs, but it's kind of like just a price play purely. Like, I don't remember the last time I've seen CJ McCollum at 6,400. That just feels like entirely too low. So I might have some exposure to him You know, just as like a pure, just a pure price play. You know, because for example, like Will Barton is 6,200.
Yeah.
Like everyone is going to play Will Barton if Gary Harris is out at 6,200 before they play McCollum at 6,400. And I think that there's some good reasoning behind that.
Definitely. I mean, they're both fantastic plays.
Right. But McCollum, I think, you know, just like as a sub 5% type of play, I think makes a lot of sense. I like a lot of guys in this, you know, like 5 to 6K range.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Buddy Hield and Jordan Clarkson with no KCP is probably going to see, what do you think, 28 to 30 minutes easily. So that's definitely somebody that's in play for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, what game was it that he sat out? KCP, I believe, missed another game and Josh Hart got the start instead of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was interesting. And Clarkson ended up having not as big of a bump in usage as you would expect. And Hart played 33 minutes and had 32 DK points. So he could be someone that's intriguing. He's dead minimum.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. We don't have a whole lot of those very often.
Right.
Is this the Cleveland game? Is this what you're talking about?
Because
KCP was out the Cleveland game.
It was two games ago.
Yeah. And Hart dropped a 10 and 11. Is he grabbing 10 rebounds again, though?
I don't know. Probably not. But
he had 32 fantasy points. Yeah. 3K. But like, oh, man, if you can give me 30 minutes at 3K, I'm all over it. Like, that's 100% lock play for me.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I don't know if I would go that far, but it's like a really fantastic
against James
play.
Harden at that, too.
Right. And another thing that's nice is he's probably pretty blowout safe.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
He's going to get the minutes regardless.
Yeah.
Going back up a little bit, if Donovan Mitchell sits, Rodney Hood at 5,800 or 5,600, I believe.
Alec Burks.
Sure, both of them.
Yeah.
But Hood is a candidate to have like a 30% usage without Mitchell. You know, like he's coming off of a 42-point game against the Rockets. Now, granted, OKC, significantly tougher matchup.
Yeah, they can throw multiple bodies on Hood.
But I still am intrigued by a 30% potential usage at just 5,600.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an intriguing play. The matchup is just shit, though. Like,
it's a rough
match. You can't ask for a worse one, honestly. So it's just one of those plays. It's kind of like a 50-50 thing for me. Like, I want to agree with you because, yes, and Rodney Hood's a guy. I mean, he's shown it before. He's shown it many times. He's shown it recently. He's got upside. But, man, OKC, that's garbage.
And then one last value guy is David Nwaba.
Okay.
I'm still in on him against Orlando. You know, bad game in his last time out, but the track record for him has been really, really good, and he's still very affordable. So I'm in on Nwaba still at 4,300.
That guy's helped me quite a bit this year, so I'm not going to argue with you.
All right, let's hop over to small forward. Kevin Durant up at the top, all the way up to 11,600 now. He's more expensive than Westbrook and Harden, and he's against Memphis, which, you know, historically has not been a great matchup for basically anyone.
Yeah.
But can you even, like, I still think you have to consider him the top play, honestly, personally.
I still think it's Harden, but I just, like I said, we've talked about this before. I don't need to go into it again. I don't love this game for fantasy. It worries me. And if I get rocked on a 12-game slate for not playing 11-6 Kevin Durant, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like, I mean, for tournaments, I'm fine with not having him. I'm honestly fine with not having him, you know, because like you said, there's so many options. You can build so many different types of lineups on this slate, but he's had over 70 in three of his last five.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a monster.
The other two being 65 and 51.
Yeah, but I mean, let's look at Lakers, Mavericks, Trailblazers. I will give Detroit. Detroit is a 73 burger that I never saw coming. Like, Detroit's got a better defense than I think people give them credit for. But then before that, Charlotte, which they can throw some defenders at you too. So the dude's been doing it even in slow, terrible matchups. So you might have a point. He might be the top play, but I'm probably still not going to play him.
Right,
against
like,
my Grizzlies.
It's so much usage, and like he's been giving you the defensive numbers too. Like, he's averaging more than two blocks a game this season. He's pulling down close to double-digit boards basically every night. Like,
here's my question to you.
I love him.
Draymond is active, hypothetically.
Yeah.
He's still the top play. Because the usage has been a lot of Draymond's hasn't been playing either. It's not just Curry.
That's true. I mean, I faded him on the one night because Draymond came back against Detroit and he still put up 73. Yeah.
Okay.
So I really don't have a problem with him regardless. Like, the issue for me is just going to be whether enough value opens up that I feel comfortable, you know, plugging him in without sacrificing too much. But
absolutely,
if I can get to him, I'm not going to double think it.
Okay. I have no issue with that whatsoever.
Any interest in any of these other guys? I mean, there's obviously a huge gap from him to the next guy, which is DeRozan. But I think after, you know, Durant, you can go down pretty far here before you find the next guy that you really want to play, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, on FanDuel, my list starts with Jimmy Butler, but obviously he's just a shooting guard on DraftKings. So that's right. Two completely different plays there. But we can just jump down right into the middle guys, because the guy that jumps off the page to me that is just a clear-cut, kind of just plug-him-in guy is Brandon Ingram. They have been force-feeding him the ball. He's playing like 40 minutes a night. No KCP, so basically he's going to be the defense on the court. 65 against Houston. I've said that I feel like a game's going to come where Houston has to play the fourth quarter and everybody's playing the minutes, and this could be the game for me. So high total. Brandon Ingram does a little bit of everything. I like his price point. I think it's a safe play with plenty of upside.
Yeah, people really haven't caught on to Brandon Ingram yet, because you know he's gone
used for, to last
for,
year
for 45 and 41 and a half, and his price hasn't moved because he just has that low ownership number. Yeah, that's a great play. I honestly didn't even consider him, but he's smashed recently, and it's a fantastic spot as long as they can keep the game close. So
yeah,
I'm totally on board with that. If Harris sits, do you prefer him or Will Barton? I mean, you can play both, obviously, too, but just if you had to pick one.
If Harris sits, I mean, I'm still going to go with Brandon Ingram, but it's super, super close because Will Barton's a wonderful play here. I mean, even if Harris plays, I feel like Will Barton's still a wonderful play here.
I could see, I love Will Barton in this spot, too, but we've seen guys bust against Jimmy Butler defense.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I think Jimmy's on him. I don't know why they would put Jimmy on anybody else.
Agreed.
But I mean, even if Wiggins is on him, that's still not a great matchup for him either. So,
all right, let's move down a little bit further. I'm going to stick with another Laker and go with Kyle Kuzma. I don't love him, but I think that given now that Brook Lopez is going to miss an extended period of time, that sort of solidifies his minutes in the 30 range. And when this guy has been playing, you know, 30 plus minutes, he's been a super reliable fantasy asset this season. So
definitely. I mean,
I like Kuzma here.
We saw him with 43 fantasy points in 27 minutes last time these two teams played. No Lopez. I think it's going to be a Nance Kuzma starting front court. I think picking the right Lakers front court guy is going to win everybody the money for the next, you know, what's Brook Lopez out for 2 weeks now?
Yeah, so I saw like three.
That's going to be what wins everybody money is picking the right big. And I think Kuzma is probably going to be my first one, then Nance, then Randall. So, Kuzma is easily a lock for me. I had him listed under power forward, so I didn't even look at the fact that he's a small forward on DraftKings, which is just, that's so wonderful. That's so great. Like,
DraftKings is getting to the point where they will just let you play almost everyone at every position.
For sure. You can move Ingram to shooting guard, or if you're not playing a point guard there, and then play Kuzma small forward. This is going to be a really fun slate, actually. I'm super excited about this.
All right. You got anybody else for me at small forward?
No, I mean, given Orlando is, they're still shorthanded Hezonja. I mean, he's been putting up numbers. So he's somebody that's got to be on your radar for sure.
Yeah, I can buy that. I'm going to throw out one more name, and this is more of like a cash game type play, but, Trevor Ariza at 4,800 is just way underpriced right now. He's playing, like ridiculous minutes. He's gone for at least 41 minutes in three straight games, and he's just a machine at getting you, you know, 25 or so fantasy points.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a guy that can get you 5.5 times value at his salary, like, just play Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, I have no issue with that as a cash game play, but he's got zero GPP upside. So
I agree with that. I mean, this is obviously as good of a matchup as he's had recently. You know, they've had games against some pretty slow, good defensive teams, the Jazz, the Bucks, the Spurs. This is, you know, an A-plus type of matchup compared to what he's seen. So
just a quick, you know, 1v1 for you for sure. 48 and for 47 on DraftKings. Buddy Hield is small forward eligible. Him or Buddy Hield for 100 less?
In a cash game, for me, it's Ariza easily. Okay. Because I know what Hield, his ceiling is, or his floor is, I'm sorry. But for a cash game, I'm sorry, for a GPP, I would take the upside of Hield.
For sure. I mean, I figured it was interesting because Brooklyn was involved, but I feel like I still agree with you.
All right, let's move on to power forward. Really no big name power forwards. The most expensive one on DraftKings outside of Kevin Durant, you know, with his double eligibility, is LaMarcus Aldridge, who could have some intrigue, I guess. You know, it is a shorthanded Spurs team, and it is a, you know, quote-unquote revenge game against the Portland Trail Blazers. Do you have any interest in him or any of these other guys who are up at the top here for power forwards?
Yeah, I definitely do. I like that LMA is now under 8K. I think that's a really, really good price point for him in a matchup that everybody, I mean, we could probably put up, you know, 10 and 10 against Portland. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really good spot for him, but that's kind of it. Like that it's you play LMA or you're going super cheap. Like, I feel like that's the way this is going to go with the Lakers value, or you got guys like Taj Gibson. But yeah, I feel like I'm going to have quite a bit of LaMarcus Aldridge, and I'm probably not going to feel that bad about it at this price point. Like, I've been playing him at 85, 86 and not even feeling bad about it. So 7.8 that's attractive with no Kawhi on the court.
I agree with that. Nikola Mirotic. In or out?
I hate that they're fully staffed, but I have to say in. Like, he's been smashing, but man, this could easily be the spot where Nico goes Nico and gives you like 8 fantasy points.
Yeah, I think I'm out. Yeah. I mean, it'd be one thing if like he was consistently getting 30 plus minutes a night, but you basically need him to go out there and score 20 points in 28 minutes. For him to hit value at 6,200 or 6,400.
And he's done it like every single game.
I know, and it's a good back. And it's a crazy. Good matchup too against Orlando. But
regression's going to hit him hard as hell, and everybody that has him at 30% in GPPs is going to be shit out of luck. So
I do feel like at least I was right on him. Like, I wish he had been healthy for the start of the season, because I feel like I would have been taking so heavily advantage of it. But now it's like, you know, who knows? Like, they're not going to bench Markkanen. You know, Bobby Portis has been excellent too. Like, it's just trade a logjam. It's a bad situation all around now that these guys are getting priced up.
To trade one and get an actual wing, that would be very, very good for that team.
It would probably make some sense. I know you mentioned you think Zach Randolph is a candidate to sit. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think given that he just rested on Sunday, I don't know if they necessarily want to rest him 2 times in 3 games.
I mean, yeah, if he plays 62 against Brooklyn, all in. Like, yeah. I'm totally fine with that. He's been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. He's priced down because he sat that game out and people forgot about him a bit. And he did play a back-to-back on December 1st and December 2nd against Chicago and Milwaukee. And he played 32 minutes. And then on the second night, he played 33 and a half.
Is that when Willie Cauley-Stein was hurt, though?
That's a fair point.
I feel like that was when Willie Cauley-Stein was hurt.
I'm just saying we have at least seen them do it. You know, it's not like they won't. Like, it's not like there's no situation where they won't play him.
For sure. And best part about it, it's a 7:30 game. We should have news before lock for that one.
Right.
It would be way better if it was a 7.
Cauley-Stein played in those 2 games, too. Okay, so cool. Maybe, yeah. I mean, if he does play, it's a smash spot.
Absolutely. Just pay attention to the news there. Because I feel like if he doesn't play Willie Cauley-Stein in Kosta Koufos, just put him in there.
Yeah, for sure Willie Cauley-Stein, although he played 30 minutes tonight and did diddly squat. So he has some floor. Like, I think my days of playing him in cash games might be close to done.
Yeah, I just like what he can bring. It's a good matchup. We've seen the upside before. I just feel like playing next to Zach Randolph is not good for him.
It's definitely not ideal.
Yeah, it's so much usage going towards that. I mean, they're just feeding Zebo as much as his legs are going to fall off at some point. Like, the guy is he's in his mid-30s now. So, like, he's not some, you know, spring chicken. So,
you know what? Good for Zach Randolph.
Hey, man, get those buckets. Get that money, man.
Get buckets.
Yeah.
You know, it's the end of your career. Just go get buckets.
Absolutely. He's having that resurgence of his career, and it's fantastic right now. So go get another one-year deal, maybe win a ring, call it a career.
So you kind of weighed in on this earlier, but you're taking Larry Nance at 4,900 over Randall at 54?
I think so, man. I don't necessarily have a stance on why, other than I feel like Nance has more minutes, the trust. Yeah, Nance has the trust to play more minutes, and I just feel like that's safer. But Randall's obviously, in my opinion, outside of Kuzma and maybe Ingram, Randall has the most upside on this team. Maybe Ball. I don't know. This team is really interesting, man. But yeah, Randall played 31 in his last game when Brolo went out. I think Brolo played, 13 minutes in that game? That's good to see. This is a really interesting matchup where they can play small. Randall can absolutely play the five in this matchup. Nance can play the five. Kuzma can play the five. It doesn't matter in this matchup. So, like I said, it's going to be who picks the right Laker big, but I feel like Randall is still third on my list for me.
All right. I would have Randall second, but I'm going to play all three. So yeah. I think that that's definitely a situation to try and target here. I think there are some other value bigs we can look at here. I know Epke Udo, if Derek Favors is out, will probably draw the start against an OKC team that could be down Steven Adams. Would that interest you?
Yeah, he was interesting to me against Houston and put up a big old dud, but he played almost 30 minutes. That's what you're looking at here. Don't look at the results. Look at what could be. And we've seen him all for upside, I think, at the price point. If you're looking for a dumpster dive, you know, scrub, it's a solid way to go. But, man, I just really like the mid-range so much that I don't know if I'm going to need to go down to a player like that on a 12-game slate.
Yeah, that makes sense. And similarly, I got burned by Pascal Siakam in the last game that Serge Ibaka sat out. So if Ibaka sits, I don't think I'm necessarily even interested in him either. So
I agree with that.
All right, let's move over to center. I think center at the top of the slate features the most interesting discussion, because you could legitimately make arguments that Vucevic, Drummond, or Towns, they all could be considered the top play on the slate, I think. Or at the position, not on the slate.
I think you can throw Jokic into that mix too, because eventually he's going to get healthy, and he's going to, you know, it's a great matchup with Karl Anthony Towns. So, I mean, yeah, obviously the first three are much more preferable here. I think if I had to pick one out of the group, I'm probably going with the middle price point in Andre Drummond. But, you know, on the road, he hasn't been super stellar. And it's not like a huge discrepancy, but like it's enough to take note at a 9K price tag. Cat, I feel like with Jimmy Butler crushing right now, Cat's ceiling isn't as high as I'd like it to be, though he has a wonderful floor with the style of game that he plays. So I don't know. I've been riding the Vooch train for probably like 3 weeks now, but like 9.4, that's super, super steep for him.
It is. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I legitimately don't know.
No Aaron Gordon though. Like that's I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough call at the center spot.
Right.
For sure.
Like we've seen like Vucevic without Gordon and Fournier is like basically a lock for 50 with upside for 60 plus.
Yeah.
But I think Drummond is in a total smash spot against the Mavs.
The Mavericks have been crushed by bigs all year long.
They just can't rebound, and Drummond is obviously one of the top rebounders in the league. I think Drummond could easily go for a 2020 game here.
This screams Andre Drummond 2020 for sure, but yeah, I don't know, man. I don't want to make a call. I'm just hedging the hell out of this center spot right now.
I'm just
hedging with them all.
I mean, I might try to make some lineups with both of them together, because I think they can
absolutely
both
play two 9K guys, like, and fit them in easily.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Now, the only thing that complicates that is I think there are some also really intriguing center plays just a little bit cheaper, namely DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, DeAndre Jordan has just been rebounding the hell out of the ball recently, and who knows what Phoenix is doing right now at the center position. Like, they might have you starting tomorrow. I'm not really 100% sure.
But you like, know, it's Tyson... funny that you say that. On my list of centers, at the very bottom of it, in big bold letters, it says "What to do with Phoenix Biggs?" Question mark. That's what has on my list. Yeah,
it's a huge question for multiple reasons. Because obviously, we like attacking the Clippers with big men, right? Like they've been one of the worst teams in the league against centers, but it also makes a difference for DeAndre because if he's going to spend the majority of his time against, you know, Greg Monroe and Alex Len, then he's going to feast. But if he has a matchup with Tyson Chandler, things are going to be a little bit tougher for him.
Absolutely. And I feel like the trend, though I am not trying to get in this man's head, I will never do that. But like, I feel like the trend as Tyson Chandler starts on back-to-backs, he doesn't play. And they've been going with the other two. So I feel like Tyson Chandler starts in this matchup, which is going to throw me into the 1v1 that I wanted to ask you because I love DeAndre as well. But Clint Capella is incredibly interesting against LA. So basically the same price point. If Chandler starts, Capella or Jordan? It's pretty damn close, right?
Pretty close. I'm going to take DeAndre.
I think DeAndre's safer.
Yes, that's the thing.
Even in the matchup.
Like, Capella is going to have to do his damage in 28 minutes.
Yeah. Well, what's Nene? Is Nene playing?
Ooh.
Because that changes things.
Yes, that would be... if Nene is out, then I change my answer.
Okay.
If Nene is out...
I just saw Nene news, and I cannot find him right now.
he was ruled out for rest on Monday. So okay. I don't think it's an injury. I would expect him to be back in the lineup.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess DeAndre, but again, like, all of these centers, and, like, you can never go wrong, in my opinion, playing two centers on DraftKings.
Ever. I mean, I feel like if you're not playing either a center or a point guard in your util spot, you need to kind of rebuild. You need to rethink what you got going right now. That's just the way I look at it. Obviously, there's those crazy slates in which you're playing, like, a small forward there, or, like, Kyle Kuzma or something, you know, that's listed as a small forward. But, yeah, no, it's either point guard or center for me in the util spot.
Now, who, as far as, like, lower price guys intrigue you? Because I don't really see anybody from, like, 7,500 all the way down until we get to, like, Greg Monroe that I have a ton of interest in.
I mean, I'm going to throw one guy out you. It's not pretty. But John Collins is very interesting to me. He's a guy that can offer upside in limited minutes, in which he's going to play limited minutes. If you get 28 out of him, you should be doing cartwheels. But 5.3, I mean, he's interesting for sure. It's a good matchup against Indiana that he could see some extended run in.
Yeah, great matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that, other than that, like, and I brought this up earlier, but I mean, if Zebo does end up ruled out, which I think we're kind of on the train that he's not going to, but Willie Cauley-Stein, I know you said he's got a floor, but I really, really love that play. I like him against Brooklyn. He's a guy that I think if he's going to see added usage can easily turn in a, you know, 14 and 10 type double-double and at 5.4. Like that's good production.
Yeah, I'm 100% fine with him if Zebo sits. 100% fine. Monroe played 30 minutes in his last game, and that was with Tyson Chandler being active. No, I'm sorry. That was a while ago. Has Greg Alex not Lynn played crushed. In like a week?
Yeah, Alex Lynn has been crushing. Alex Lynn has posted
what the hell is going on in Phoenix?
33 rebounds in his past two games. He's double-doubled in both of them. It's kind of been ridiculous, actually. Which means he's going to be a DNP for sure heading into this slate on the last game of the night, too. I just can't. I don't trust a single Phoenix center. I can't do it. I'm terrified to play any of them, even though I want to. And Alex Len is my favorite of the group, so yeah, it's a terrible situation.
I think Len's got to be the guy. I mean, Monroe hasn't played since the 13th of December, so you can. It seems like he's out of the rotation at the moment, which means he'll have a 40 burger tomorrow. But
for sure, and he's going to get it all from Isaiah Cannon or some, or Mike James or something. Like Phoenix scares the hell out of me right now, so I've just been avoiding it.
I think you want to have some exposure to one of these guys.
Okay,
I mean, you have to be prepared to take an L in a GPP, but upside wise, these guys all offer, you know, close to 10x value on their salaries at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm gonna play around during the day. I'll end up taking a stand on one depending on what the news says, but I think that that's a situation that you definitely want to monitor.
Quick question, just yes or no answer: Kelly Olynyk against Boston?
No.
Okay.
I looked into him, but I just don't want to play anybody against Boston. If James Johnson is out again, he's intriguing, but at 5,400, I just don't see a ton of upside.
Yeah. He's had those games, but I mean, right now, I mean, he's played Boston twice, averaging 21 minutes, 26 fantasy points. At 5.4, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not overly appealing.
Right. It's not going to get you excited.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So now that we've gone through the slate, do you have any just larger sort of takeaways that you want to touch on?
If anybody has listened to podcasts that I've been on previously to this season, they know that I'm a kind of a fan of the mid range, and this is a perfect Vince slate. It's all guys. You're not going below 5.5 with anybody. And this is the type of slates that I really actually get up for. I like this.
I was going to say something similar. I still think there might be a couple of value plays to plug in, a couple for guys, sure. 4 or 5 range.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a slate where you might want to avoid all the 11K guys.
Makes sense. It really does.
I think you can build a really strong lineup with a couple of guys in that 7 to 9K type range.
Open up the util on DraftKings and just bring it all the way to the top. Who's the first guy that kind of strikes your interest as I'm actually probably going to play him? Because it's either going to be Vooch or Depot for me. Yeah. I'm skipping all the other guys.
Vooch, Oladipo, and Drummond.
Those are my first three.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of On the Daily. For Vince, who you can find on Twitter at WakeWorkWake, I'm Matt LaMarca at Matt LaMarca. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.